Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, January 27th, 2015 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Earlier on Monday, we did lower our Infocon back to green. The sort of active phase of this Flash Saturday business is pretty much over now. Now it's back to good old boring patching and trying to get all of your systems covered. Well, it's probably a little bit too early to say to just uninstall Flash. It's certainly something that you should consider if you can do it, but there's still an awful lot of sort of legacy Flash applications out there. And apparently Apple is planning to fix a number of important vulnerabilities in the next version of Yosemite 10.10.2. In particular, they're not just fixing the three Saturdays that were announced by Google, but they're also addressing the ThunderStrike boot ROM attack. This was the attack that allowed someone to use the Thunderbolt port to actually update the boot ROM with a malicious version. Apparently, it turns out that some of the later systems from Apple, in particular the 5K iMac and some of the latest version of the Mac Mini, are already immune against ThunderStrike, but a lot of the MacBooks, including some of the more recent models, are not, and version 10.10.2 of OS X Yosemite will address this problem for these older models. Apparently, it will also prevent a downgrade of the firmware, which could then, of course, be used to launch a ThunderStrike attack again. Now, this is based on testing on the latest beta version of OS X, which was released to developers. Of course, there's always a chance that some of these features won't make it into the final release if there are some problems that turn up during beta testing. Next item initially doesn't look like a big deal, but apparently using WebRTC, the real-time communication library that has been added to recent versions of JavaScript for video conferencing and such, this library can apparently be used to find the local IP address of a system. The reason I think this is important is this hasn't really been possible so far in JavaScript. You needed a Java module to do this, and it is sort of a little bit the missing link in a lot of cross-site request forging attacks and the like that can be used to attack local network devices. For example, one simple fix that you can apply to prevent cross-site request forging attacks against your local firewall's web-based admin interface and such is to essentially just renumber your network. Instead of using the default 192.168.100.1 network, use some other local IP address space, and chances are the attack will fail. But if JavaScript can be used, like in this library that I'll link to find the local IP address, then it is very possible that these attacks can be further automated, and you can actually then automatically figure out what is the likely router's IP address. At least the space that you have to search will become a lot smaller. This library is currently available in recent versions of Firefox and Chrome, but likely other browsers will implement it soon. And apparently McAfee is trying to get into the browser business. McAfee is now offering what they call 100% secure browser as part of its Connect Password Manager. The idea is to use the specific browser for financial accounts and then, of course, with its integration with the password manager to make it easier to log into these accounts. Haven't had a chance to download it yet. If anybody has and has any feedback to share, please let me know. And Symantec wrote up an interesting new bot called Tabrosa. This bot distinguished itself by monetizing the efforts of its creator in creating fake clicks on YouTube videos. YouTube has a program where the creator of the video is getting a share of ad revenue created by the video, and this can amount to $10 to $15 million a year. So no surprise that malware is jumping on that bandwagon. We have seen, for example, fake clicks on ad banners before, probably The first bot I ever looked at, Leafs, did do just that, but usually you only had a tune of like $10,000 or $20,000, not millions of dollars as these new bots. Now, the infection vector for this particular bot appears to be a good old spear phishing. So essentially just an email that then tricks the user to go to a website that will install the bot. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.